'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, whilst visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just rested our brains for a long winter's nap. Then out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I went like a flash, I threw open the shutters and pulled up the sash. The moon on the breast of new-fallen snow gave the appearance of midday to objects below, when what did my wondering eyes appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. Those words are from the beginning of perhaps the most famous poem ever written about Christmas. Published nearly 200 years ago, Clement Moore's 'Twas a Night Before Christmas tells the tale of an excited family waiting for a Christmas guest. But the question I want to ask us this morning is this. Who are we waiting for this Christmas? In 7 days' time, we'll put our heads down to sleep. And who will it be that we'll be waiting to see on Christmas Day morning? Who are you waiting for this Christmas? Now, I realize in a room of this many people, there'll be a whole range of answers to that question. But I've got a sneaky feeling that for some of us this morning, Christmas is about to come early. Because I've got a feeling that some of the people we might be waiting for might be hiding under one of these boxes behind me. And to help me introduce them, I am going to need 4 volunteers. So can I have hands in the air for 4 volunteers? Okay. Yep, up there, down here. And you 2 guys up there. Great. Come down fast as you can. Okay, as the other guys are coming down, would you be able to help me turn over this box? If you turn it from the back to the front. That's it. Turn it over. And again. Brilliant. Now, I reckon that for some of us this Christmas, we'll be waiting for these guys. Now, can anybody tell me who these are? Yeah. That's it, Paw Patrol, 10-year-old Ryder and his gang of doggy friends. You okay to have a seat? Great. Would you like to turn over this next box? If you stand behind it and you turn it round to the front. Thank you very much. Now, as amazing as Paw Patrol is, I reckon that some of us may be waiting for some of these guys. Can anybody tell me where these guys are from? Yep. That's it, Star Wars, our friends from a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Great, can you take a seat? But as amazing as Paw Patrol is, and as brilliant as Star Wars is, I reckon that for some of us here this morning, we'll be waiting for someone that we think is even better. Are you okay to turn over this one? Thank you. Now, can anybody tell me what, or perhaps rather I should say who, this is? Maybe someone a little bit older? Yeah, can you tell me? That's it, Amazon Alexa. I reckon that for some of us this Christmas, we'll be waiting for a gadget like Amazon's Alexa, Google's personal assistant, or Apple's Siri. Are you okay to take a seat? Great, would you be able to turn over our final one? Now, can anybody tell me who this is? Anybody tell me who this is? That's it. I reckon that for many of us here, it's not Paw Patrol, it's not Star Wars, it's not even artificial intelligence that we're waiting for this Christmas. But it's someone like Mary Berry. Picture it. The most perfectly decorated house. The most succulent Christmas turkey. The crumbliest mince pies. surely it's someone like Mary Berry that we're waiting for this Christmas. Thank you, Nathan. Whoever we are, however old we are all waiting for someone this Christmas. But as we now go back in time to look at the first ever Christmas, I want to suggest this. I want to suggest that deep down, it's not Paw Patrol, Star Wars, Amazon Alexa, or even Mary Berry that we're waiting for this Christmas. I want to suggest deep down, the person we are waiting for is even greater. The person we are waiting for is Jesus. Now, if you could keep your Bibles open as we go back to look at that first Christmas story, that would be really helpful. Now, as we pick up the story this morning, we don't pick it up at the beginning. No, some pretty amazing things have already happened. And perhaps the most amazing thing is this. A man called Zechariah was working as a priest in the temple. And one day when he was going about his work, a flaming great big angel came to speak to him. And the angel made some amazing promises to Zechariah. He promised that although his wife was very old, his wife Elizabeth would come to have a son. And this son would be very special because he would help get people ready for someone even more special to come. And now as we come to pick up the story at Luke verse 26 of chapter 1 this morning, we come to read of an even greater miracle. As we had so well read to us earlier, another angel, an angel called Gabriel, now comes to a woman called Mary and promises that she too will have a son. And this son would be a great miracle. Have a read down with me at verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will shadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now Mary thought that there was a bit of a problem. Because you see, to Mary, like Elizabeth, she thought she couldn't have a baby. Like Elizabeth, Mary thought that she too couldn't have a baby. Now I recognize there might be some of us here this morning who haven't yet learnt how babies are made. And that's okay. It's okay because all we need to understand this story is this. Although Mary thought she couldn't have a baby, she was able to have a baby because the baby Mary would have would, like Elizabeth's, be very special. Although Mary thought she couldn't have a baby, Mary was able to have a baby because the baby Mary would have would be even more special. Indeed, this baby would be even more special than Elizabeth's. Why? Because it would be made by a greater miracle. Now, to help us understand this a little bit more, I want us to play a game. And for this game, I'm going to need 2 volunteers. Now, these volunteers need to be from the same family, so one big and one small. Okay? Oh, Anthony and Caitlin, would you be able to come up for us? Great. Okay, so if you guys come up here, I'm going to ask you to throw as many balls into these 2 boxes. So I'm going to put these 2 boxes here. You happy with those boxes? And I've got some balls in another box over here. Now, Anthony. Okay, I'd like you to stand maybe about here. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, Caitlin, I've heard you're pretty good at throwing. Is that right? Have you just joined the netball team? Okay, right. So I think that's going to be a bit too easy for you. So I'm going to ask you if you can come, if you come back a little bit further. Could you come back a little bit further? Actually, could you just step down off the platform a bit? Okay, right. And if you throw that, and I'm going to give you 20 seconds. Okay? You've got 20 seconds. As many balls as you can. Three. I'll get out of the way. Two. One. Go. Come on, lots of cheering, guys. Come on, as many balls as you can. Come on, keep going. Come on, let's cheer, guys. Come on. Okay, you got five, four, three, two, one, go. That's it. Stop, guys. Very good. Well done. Okay, I'm just going to count these. If you keep those there, okay, let's count these up. So, Anthony, you got one, two, three, four, five. Okay, a little round of applause for Anthony. Okay, Caitlin, do you want to come up here? Let's see how many you got. Okay, so, got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Wow, big round of applause for Caitlin. Go and have a sit back down. Thank you. Now, that was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Anthony did pretty well. I think for some of us who know his normal performance in the games at Connect, we'd probably say it was a small miracle. But Caitlin's, wow, that was amazing. Actually, no matter how well Anthony did, Caitlin's performance was far more special, wasn't it? The greater the miracle, the more special the thing. The greater the miracle, the more special the thing. That's why we applauded so much, wasn't it? And so as we come to think about who we are waiting for this Christmas, the question we need to ask ourselves is this. Are we waiting for the greater miracle? Because you see, in the same way that Caitlin's performance was far greater than her dad's, the baby Mary would have would be far greater than Elizabeth's. Indeed, the baby that Mary would have would be far greater than all of these people up here. This baby would be far greater than Paw Patrol turning up just to rescue the day. This baby would be greater than even the fiercest attack by the Rebel Alliance in Star Wars. This baby would be even more miraculous than Amazon Alexa, I don't know, giving us the forecast for Papua New Guinea. This baby would be even greater than making Mary Berry's famous Christmas cake without a hitch. The greater the miracle, the more special the thing. The greater the miracle, the more special the thing. So let us make sure this Christmas we are waiting for the most special thing of all. Now, a few minutes ago, we saw that Jesus was the greater miracle. But we should also learn from this passage something else. That Jesus, this baby which Mary would have, would one day grow up to be a greater man. Because I don't know if you noticed from our reading, which was read so well earlier, when Gabriel came to Mary, he made some amazing promises about who this baby would grow up to be. As we see in verse 32, Gabriel says that this baby would be great. He would be very, very great. Gabriel said that this baby would be called the Son of the Most High. This baby would be God's Son. That means that this baby that Mary would have would be like God. Actually, no, more than that, this baby would be God. All that God is, this baby would be. As God is great, this baby would be great. As God is amazing, this baby would be amazing. As God is king, this baby would be king. For as Gabriel says, the Lord God will give this baby the throne of his father David. And this baby's kingdom would be so big, it would never end. Do we get how amazing that is? Do we get how great this baby will be? Well, to help us get our heads around these amazing words, we're going to play another game. And for this game, I'm going to need 6 young volunteers. So hands high. Great. Yep. 1, 2, 3. And we need another 3. Okay. 3 of you at the back who haven't already been down already. Okay. Nice and quick. So we're going to have, I'm going to break you guys up, 6 of you, into 3 teams of 2. Okay. Quickly as you can, guys. Great. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to get as many pieces of paper from the back of the room to the front. You'll notice by the pillar over there, the pillar in the middle, and the pillar over there, there is stacks of printer paper, okay? And in your pairs, in a minute, I want you to see how many pieces of paper you can get from the back of the church to the front. Okay, so you guys, can you go together? You girls go together. You guys come over here. You work together. Now, you can either work together or separately, but the aim is simple. As many packs of printer paper from the back of the room to the front, stacked up in a minute. Ready? On your marks. Get set. Go. Oh, wow. Okay, so we've got some ambitious. Okay, keep going, guys. Okay. Keep going. Come on. It's all right. As fast as you can. Come on. Sweat those muscles. If we can have a bit of cheering as well, I think that might help them. Okay. Give you another 10 seconds. Another 10 seconds. Come on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. That's it, guys. That's it. Bring the paper to the front. Well done. Round of applause. Okay, girls. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 500 sheets of paper in each. That is 6,000 sheets of paper. I think you girls deserve a round of applause. Well done. Okay. Okay, so here we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Again, 12. Well, guys. Another 6,000 pieces of paper. Boys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. That is amazing, huh? So what's that? 11,500 pieces of paper? Amazing. Great guff, guys. You guys go and have a sit down. Okay. That is a lot of paper, right? 23,500 sheets of paper. Now I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine that the distance between the earth and the sun was the width of one sheet of paper. The distance between the earth and the sun, the width of one sheet of paper. If the distance between the earth and the sun was one width of piece of paper, the distance between the earth and the next furthest star would have required our volunteers to stack the paper 70 feet high. That's more than the height of this building. But the distance between one side of our galaxy, the Milky Way, and the other would have required our volunteers to stack the paper 300 miles high. That's the distance between this building and our missionary partner friends, Jerome and Henny, in Brussels in Belgium. Now get this. According to scientific research, we believe there are more galaxies in the universe than grains of sand on the seashore. Now think about this. The baby Mary was to have would rule over all of that. From the smallest grain of sand to the greatest galaxy in the sky, the baby Mary would have would rule over all of it. Do we get how amazing Jesus is? Do we get how great he is? Because you see, compared to these people here, Jesus is a bit like this. He is far, far greater. Because he is a greater miracle and a greater man. Let's see if we can get that going any higher. But I don't know about you, as I think about how great Jesus is, it then begins to dawn on me how badly I often treat him. Here is Jesus, the greatest person in the whole universe, yet I often put myself and these people before him. How crazy is that? Actually, more than crazy, how wrong is that? And perhaps you feel the same too. Perhaps there are some of us here this morning as we begin to think about how amazing Jesus is. Perhaps even for the first time, it dawns on us how badly we often treat him. Well, if that's you, can I ask you to listen in for just a few more minutes as we come to our third and final thing we learn about Jesus. Jesus is the greater miracle, he's the greater man, but he's on a greater mission. I don't know if you noticed that in the first verse we read back before the song we just had, verse 35, the angel Gabriel used a very strange word to describe this baby that Mary would have. The angel Gabriel said that this baby would be holy. Now the word holy is a word today we often think means someone who's particularly religious. I don't know, they go to church, they read a lot, the Bible, they pray. But the word holy actually means far more than that. For when the angel Gabriel said to Mary that her baby would be holy, he meant that this baby would somehow be different. He would be special. His life would be dedicated to a unique mission. And as we read through the rest of Luke's gospel, we come to learn what that special mission was. As we read through the rest of Luke's account of Jesus' life, we begin to slowly see that the reason Jesus came to earth was to suffer, be rejected, and to die. Here is Jesus, the greatest person in all the universe, yet he came to earth as a baby, to suffer, be rejected, and to die. Why? Well, to help us understand, I want to finish by telling us a little story. There was once an old king of Russia. And this king had a very good general in his army. And one year, this general suffered serious wounds in battle. So as he was lying on his deathbed, his good friend the king came to him. And as the king was sat there next to his friend in bed, he promised that he would raise this commander's son as his own. The commander died. But the king made good on his word. And he gave this commander's young son the most amazing palaces to live in. The most delicious food to eat. He sent him to the best schools. The king treated this young boy as his own son. And when this boy turned to the age of 18, the king gave him a prestigious job in the army. But the young man had a secret. The young man was addicted to gambling. It wasn't long before this man's gambling got out of control. His debts got so high he had to start stealing money from the army in order to keep up his habit. And one evening, as he was sat in his tent in his camp, he pulled out a big red thick leather book setting out all of the debts that he owed to the army. And as he read through line after line, he realized that the accountants would soon find out. Soon the game would be up and everybody would know about him. And as he sat there thinking about all the great things that the king had done for him, he thought the only thing he could do was to end his own life. So pouring himself one stiff alcoholic drink to steady his nerve, he downed his drink and passed out on the desk. Now that night, the king was doing what he often did. Dressed as a mere soldier, he was walking through the camp, going from tent to tent, hearing what he could hear to assess the morale of his army. And after a few hours, he came across his foster son's tent and, surprised to find him stooped over the desk, and on top of this book, he gently moved his son to one side and opened it up. It didn't take long for the king to see the problem. As he read debt after debt, he could see how much trouble this young man was in. In the morning, the young man awoke from his slumber. He was surprised to find a letter next to this book. So he opened it up and was amazed to read this. I, the king of Russia, promise to pay the debts in this book from my own personal funds. It was on the king's special headed notepaper. It was sealed with the king's special ring. Because you see, the young man's debts had to be paid, didn't they? As commander-in-chief of the Russian army, the king couldn't just wave these debts by. No, these debts had to be paid. And the same is true for us. As we seek to put ourselves and these people before Jesus, the most amazing person in all the universe, we too are robbing honor from him. And because we do it day after day, we can never pay it back. And so, like the king came into the camp disguised as a humble soldier, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the universe, came into this world disguised as a baby. And as the king looked into that red leather book and saw all the debts and paid them, Jesus looks into the depths of our hearts and offers to pay our debt too. For sinners like you and me, Jesus offers to pay the ultimate sacrifice, death, death on a cross, so that like the boy and the king, we can have a renewed relationship with him. Who are you waiting for this Christmas? In 7 days' time, as you lay your head to rest on Christmas Eve, who will it be that you will be waiting to wake up for in the morning? Well, let it not first be Paw Patrol, Star Wars, Amazon Alexa, or even Mary Berry. Let it be the Lord Jesus, the greater miracle, the greater man on a greater mission.